So what is this method? What is this method of personal development? In a word, the method is meditation. But a second question arises: why meditation? How does meditation come to be a method of personal development? We've seen that human development is essentially a change in consciousness, a change in the level of consciousness, a change from a lower level to a higher level of consciousness. And meditation, of course, helps us to achieve just this, helps us to make that transition from the lower to the higher level of consciousness. And for this reason, we use the word meditation in a sort of double sense. Meditation signifies, in the first place, the higher state of consciousness attained, and secondly, it signifies the method or methods that lead to the attainment of that higher state or higher level of consciousness. Not that meditation is the only method. There are other methods of development. There is ethical observance. There is ethical life. There are symbolical rituals, such as one finds in the Tantra. There are devotional practices of various kinds. The social service. One could even include the practice of the arts and crafts. All these act upon the mind. All of these affect the level of consciousness, but they act on it only indirectly through the physical body, through the senses. Whereas meditation acts on consciousness directly. And it's for this reason that we regard meditation as the primary method of personal development. Now, we speak of lower and higher states of consciousness. But how, in fact, are we to tell the one from the other? How do we know which is higher, which is lower? In what way does the meditative consciousness differ from ordinary consciousness? Well, it differs in quite a number of ways. To begin with, the meditative consciousness is less dependent on the physical senses. Much of the time, ordinary human consciousness is a sense-oriented consciousness. Sense impressions are coming in all the time. Even as we sit here, sense impressions are coming in. Impressions through the eye, through the ear, through the sense of touch, through smell, even through taste. Sense impressions are coming in all the time, and they give rise to various sensations, various feelings, and consciousness, the mind, comes to be preoccupied with these, if you like, coloured by these. And usually we don't realise the extent to which our minds are preoccupied with thoughts, with impressions, with sensations that have their origin in the world of the senses, which come in through the five physical senses. In the meditative consciousness, however, all this does not happen. Sense impressions are present, but the mind does not react. Sense impressions recede, as it were, to the periphery of consciousness. And in deep meditation, they may disappear altogether. In deep meditation, the consciousness is absorbed in the object of concentration, is absorbed in the actual experience of the higher state. And sense consciousness, awareness of the world of sense objects, fades away, as it were, into the remote distance, and is either perceived very, very dimly and very, very faintly indeed, or in very deep states of meditation, not perceived at all. And this brings us to the second way in which the higher consciousness differs from the lower. It's simply more concentrated. When I say more concentrated, I'm not thinking of any such thing as a forcible fixation of attention. I'm thinking more in terms of a natural flowing together of all one's energies. Usually one's energies are divided. They're in conflict. And sometimes some of our energies, even a large part of our energies, are not available to us at all. And this is why very often we can't do very much. We don't have, as we say, much energy. It's blocked, it's suppressed or repressed. But in meditation, especially when we've been practicing meditation and had some degree of success with it, in meditation what happens is, quite naturally, quite spontaneously, that these energies, these blocked or suppressed or repressed energies, gradually become liberated. And they're all, as it were, gently led, gently guided in the same direction. So that the higher state of consciousness is thus a more integrated state, a more integrated experience. In it, there's no conflict, there's no division, and consequently we experience a tremendous access of energy. Energy, as it were, bubbles up within us. Not just physical energy, though physical vitality may be enhanced incidentally, it's more of the nature of psychic energy, even emotional energy, liberated in the course of the practice of the meditation. And this experience of energy being liberated is of course intensely pleasurable. And the higher state of consciousness is therefore a state of happiness, of delight, of joy, rapture, even bliss. In other words, it's a state of intense emotional positivity, such as we hardly, if ever, experience at other times. Now we notice here a rather strange, a rather interesting fact, which is that when we are happy, when we are really happy, we tend not to think. At least not to think unnecessarily. We may say that a great deal of our thinking is unnecessary. In other words, a great deal of our thinking is based simply on anxiety. And in the higher, meditative consciousness, there is no thought. So long as we're thinking, we're not meditating. At least we're not meditating very seriously. When I say that in the higher meditative consciousness, there is no thought, because it is such a happy, such a blissful state, I don't mean, of course, that there's no consciousness, no awareness. In fact, in the absence of thought, in the absence of thinking, in the absence of discursive thought, consciousness, awareness, is clearer and brighter and more powerful than ever.